what's significant about Revelations? And all of a sudden it hit me. I go, me being me, let's turn this into a year of revelation. It isn't just revelation that comes out of the Bible. How about revelations as to who you are? What does God want you to do? Where are you headed? And then we could look at the church too. Where are we headed as a church? What is our ministry? What is our voice? We have a lot of potential. So what I'm asking you to do is get on the train called Revelation, and let's spend the rest of the year looking at what is it God wants you to do? Because that's how I feel moved for me personally. Who am I? Who is Dave? Dave is not just a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a mischief maker. I'm a pain in the butt. I'm all sorts of things. I'm even a Christian thug, according to somebody. I wear the title proudly, John. So, and that's another story. Anyway, we each have lots of identities, but it really boils down to who are we individually and as couples and as all believers in Christ? Who are we? So let this be a year of revelation. That's going to be my emphasis for the next 12 months. And where you're going, well, Dave, we're in the middle of the year. Well, it's because for me, starting as July 1st as a pastor from a year ago, this last year I had a certain theme I followed for the whole year. Now we have a new theme for the year. So it's who are we and what's our voice? So I'm going to read to you. You can pull out the Bible in front of you if you so desire. But where we want to go is deep into the Old Testament. Because we're going to talk about this guy up here, Balak, Balaam, and the talking donkey. And I'm not sure in this whole story who's the real star. Is it Balak who is the king? Balaam who is a wannabe very rich prophet? Or the donkey that talks? Kind of like those of us that remember Mr. Ed, the talking horse. Kind of the same thing here. So what I'm going to read is chapter 22 of Numbers. If you want to follow along. And of course, my version is a little different from yours. But it's verses 1 through 7. And I'll wait just a minute here as everybody gets to that spot. All right, so chapter 22 of Numbers, verse 1. Then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan, opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous. And Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this horde will lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at the time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river being the Euphrates, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now, therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." Wow, what power. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to them. The word of God for the people of God. Okay. Chris, do you have the map by any chance? So, quick background on this. We are now at the end of 40 years of the wandering in the wilderness. Moses, Miriam has died. Aaron is gone, and it won't be long. Aaron is not gone yet, But it's not long before Aaron and Moses will both be deceased and in the hands of the Lord. So far, they have wiped out two kings. They took out the, They took out Bashan, who was an Og, who was the king of Bashan. And they also took out the Amorites. So two nations of five are already gone. So the Moabs and the Moabites are incredibly afraid. And as you can see up there where it says the plains of Moab. So they're up in the plains. They're up in the green wilderness area, vegetation, all that. But they're there by the Dead Sea. So they're not far from Jericho. And Jericho, of course, is already starting to hear the rumblings about what Israel is doing, how they're wiping everybody out. Now, there are four things out of this. This sermon is this week and next week, by the way, because there's some length to this. But it's about greed, compromise, betrayal, and corruption. Does that sound like anything we know about today? Greed, compromise, betrayal, and corruption. There are three lessons that we're going to pick up from a donkey riding prophet. And we have to consider, do we want to be more like the prophet Balaam, or do we really want to be more like the donkey? Think about it. So let's look at our first character, Balaam. He's one of the most interesting guys you're going to find out as you read the Old Testament. He's somebody who follows the Lord, but not really. He's all about the greed, the compromise, and what's wrong with a little corruption. So I've read this when I first started reading Numbers 22 through 24, those three chapters. Balaam really sounds to me like a good guy. You know, I go, why is God mad at him? What's the big deal? I don't understand. And pretty soon it started to dawn on me a little bit that he says all the right things. He does all the right things. He looks pious. He looks righteous. Do you know anybody like that? On the outside, they're clean, but on the inside, they are a wreck. They are filthy. They are dirty. They are the clean pot on the outside, but on the inside, it's all the fungus and rot and all that sort of thing. Well, that's Balaam. He dines with a king, Balak. He's well known among his own people. He's known among the Jews as being a very powerful, I hear God very clearly kind of prophet. And he's almost of the same stature as Moses in the area of prophecy. He's a legend in other countries. Hence, here's the country of Moab. And Balak hears about him. Balak says, go send money. Go send envoys to Balaam and bring him back. He's also the only one in the Bible who talks to animals and animals talk back to him. He actually has a conversation with this donkey, which we'll see in another chapter. His story is found in the Old Testament, but it's also in 2 Peter. So 2 Peter 2, as I got it here. What did I do with it? Do we have 2 Peter 2, Chris? By any chance? Leaving the straight path, they have gone off course. Following the way of Balaam, son of Bosor, or Peor, depends on Greek or which language you're using, who loved the payment of doing wrong. He wanted the money. But Balaam was rebuked for his wrongdoing. A donkey, which has no voice, spoke with a human voice and put a stop to the prophet's madness. Those of us that have had dogs or cats, do they talk to you? Yeah, they do. They, especially when they're at the patio door going, I need to go outside like right now. But they also tell you when they need love, they love you, they want food. They let you know when it's time to go to sleep because they just fall down wherever on the floor and you got to step over them. They don't care. Our Daisy, before we had to put her down, all 100 pounds of her, she'd lay down on the floor and we'd step over her. It didn't matter that it was in the kitchen and we've got food going over the top of her. She laid down. So yes, they do talk to us. But this is you don't have a conversation with them. They don't have that. But here's the donkey. Now, Jude 11, they are damned, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain. For profit, they give themselves over to Balaam's error. They are destroyed in the uprising of Korah. So even in Jude, even in Peter, they still refer back to over a 1,000-year period to the time of Balaam, saying, here was a guy that just wanted the money. He wanted to follow God, but he didn't really follow God. He'd have God's words, but he used it for monetary gain. So it's very, very interesting story. Now, here's the other side of it. On the statistical side, the story of Balaam and riding this donkey, he gets more coverage, more written words about him in the Bible than Mary, Jesus' mother, or the prophets, or the apostles. He gets more verses written about him. He's got presentation. In other words, he knows how to make the dramatic prophecy. He has God's ear, and he clearly hears God's voice. So who is this donkey guy? Is he genuine or not? And how did his donkey get so smart? More importantly, what can we learn about this prophet from the donkey? So if you see, this story is starting to become a whole lot more about a four-legged creature than two guys that are as crooked as they come. This account is written in Numbers 22 through 24. Again, we're in the last 40 years now. We're at the very end of the 40 years of being in the wilderness. Balak was a king of Moab who saw what happened to the other kings. He saw that two were already killed. And there is numerous as sand, the Israelites. So they're going to come kill him. He knows it's going to happen. The king's scared, so he hires a well-known prophet. In other words, it's like the Old West. He goes and gets the hired gun to go take out the bad guys. And this is what he's doing with Balaam. Balak wanted him to issue a curse against Israel so that the Moabites could defeat them and get them out of their backyard. Do you think that happened? Did not. Did not happen. This is where Balaam looks like a real man of God. He took the time to ask God what he's supposed to do. And then he listens. And God instructed him not to go back. So that happened twice. The guys went back rejected. Balak gives them more money. They go back again. He says, well, stay with me the night and let's see if we can hear God. He stays. God still says, do not do it. Don't go back. Does this look like obedience? That Balaam is obedient? Chris, do we have Revelations 22 or Numbers 22, 19? If not, that's okay. We can do the Bible. We got it? Oh, there we go. If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I wouldn't be able to do anything, small or great, to break the command of the Lord my God. Now, does that sound kind of wishy-washy? Does that sound a little bit like, gee, you know, if I didn't have the Lord watching over me and paying attention to me and that sort of thing, I would really like to go over there, get the payment, put a curse on these people, and go back a rich guy. Now, let's put that in our own lives. How many times have you felt, the Lord doesn't want me to go do this, or the Lord does want me to go do this, but you do the opposite? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, you should all have your hands up in the air because we've all done it. We started when we were about 18 months old. We all started doing this. I don't want to do what mom and dad say. I want to do my own thing. And did mom and dad find out anyway? Oh, yeah, they sure did. Okay, same way with the Lord. And this is what Balaam is doing. I mean, he's going, I really like to have the money, but I've got the command of the Lord my God. So what's going on here is the prophet wants to do what God has told him not to do. We all do that now and then, and it's never a good thing. There's never seems to be a good outcome of that decision. But God, funny, God allows us to do it. And that's called permissive will of God. He has told you not to do something, but you are so determined you're going to do it that he lets you do it. And that's the permissive will of God. So even though it opposes his will, he eventually does allow Balaam to go to the country of Moab. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit because I'm very excited because I want to give you the viewpoint of life according to the donkey. I've had a lot of fun with this. The more I read this, and as I was preparing this sermon, I'm going, the donkey's the only one smart one here. So let's go to Numbers. Matter of fact, let's go to Numbers. Brent, open up your Bibles. We're going to talk about the donkey. We all need the donkey in our life. So we want to go to donkey 22, Numbers 22. If this whole narration, this whole story about a talking donkey doesn't reveal to you that God has a certain amount of a sense of humor, you're missing it. Because the donkey is really the one who's got it all together. So I'm going to start chapter 22, verse 22, and follow along. And I'll just read it from up here off the screen. So then God became angry because he went. That's that permissive will part that I just talked about. He let him go, but God was not happy about it. He was riding on the donkey, accompanied by his two servants, and the Lord's messenger stood in the road as his adversary. So when they say the Lord's messenger, who is that? Who is that? Angels, right? Messengers of the angels. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. So the donkey turned from the road and went into the field. That was a very smart donkey. He saw something that was very scary and he moved away from the angel. Balaam struck the donkey in order to turn him back onto the road. Then the Lord's messenger, again the angel, stood in the narrow path between the vineyards with a stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the Lord's messenger, it leaned against the wall and squeezed Balaam's foot against the wall. So it continued to beat it. So he's in a lot of pain because now the donkeys are not a light animal, correct? So he's leaning him into the wall. Balaam's foot hurts. He takes his stick, beats him again. And then he keeps pushing the donkey. And then verse 26, the Lord's messenger persisted and crossed over and stood in a narrow place where it wasn't possible to turn either right or left. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger and lay down underneath Balaam. That's a smart donkey. Balaam became angry and beat the donkey with a rod. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and it said to Balaam, now I've tried different times to figure out what's it going to sound like. Is it squeaky? Is it deep? Does it sound like a donkey? Is it a human voice? You know, I try to picture this and I just go, it doesn't matter because if I'm a bystander watching this whole thing, I'd have probably been laughing. And then we go from there. And he says, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you've beaten me these three times? And then Balaam answers him. That's the incredible part of this. Balaam said to the donkey, because you've tormented me, if I had my sword in my hand, I'd kill you now. That was a very angry prophet. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on whom you've often ridden to this day? Like, he's had him all his life. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? Balaam is still not catching on. He goes, no, he's still not catching on. He's talking to a donkey. He must be so outraged right now. He has no sense of fear. He has no sense of fear. He does not know the messenger is there. He doesn't see it. The donkey does. The donkey really does see it very clearly. Then the Lord uncovered Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. Then he bowed low and worshiped. I hope he did a whole lot more than that, like try to become part of the road. The Lord's messenger said to him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come out here as an adversary because you took the road recklessly in front of me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it hadn't turned away from me, I would have just now have killed you and let it live. The donkey is doing the right thing. Balaam said to the Lord's messenger, I've sinned because I didn't know that you were standing against me in the road. Now, if you think it's wrong, I'll go back. And the messenger said, go with the men, but just don't say anything. Okay. But typically, if they're in front of an angel, the angel will say, stand up, do not worship me, for I am the same as you. The way the theologians look at this is that this messenger was actually Jesus. This was actually Jesus because he took the worship. He took the obedience. He took Balaam being on the ground. So this is considered to be the first what's called pre-incarnate visit of Jesus to earth. And he did it with Balaam. Now, I don't know of any other places in the Old Testament where there's the vision of Jesus, other than in prophecies, that sort of thing. But an actual seeing a figure, they're saying that was actually Jesus Christ that was standing before him. And I find it kind of amazing that it would be that moment in time that Jesus would be there. But that was a God thing. That was his decision, his wisdom to send Jesus at that time. So you might want to say, when you compare the donkey to Balaam, who had more spiritual discernment, the donkey or Balaam? I'd say Balaam was pretty shy on the spiritual discernment part, even though on the outward he had it made. That was where he was at. But the donkey was allowed to see Jesus. Now that brings up an interesting thought. Do your animals ever act weird in the house? Do they ever act weird in the house? Yes. Discussions have been made where animals are able to see spirits we can't. I don't know why. It just works that way. Where you have the stories of a dog is with a child or with an adult, and they know that there's something spooky in the house. It's kind of not meant to be a pun, but there's something in the house, but you can't see it. Animals are a whole lot more sensitive in some things. The donkey, my hat's off to the donkey. He's where it's at. So we're going to stop here. Stay tuned for this next Bat channel, next Bat time, all that sort of thing. But we're going to finish this next week. Because this thing is very, very important, because what are we talking about? Greed, corruption, betrayal. And this story has it all, because it applies to us as a church. I don't mean this church, but the church of God, the church of Christ worldwide. We're having huge problems. corruption, greed, betrayal, all that sort of thing. So I'll wrap it up next week and say, here's what's going on. Now, to this church, to the Aldersgate Church, I don't say any of that. Betrayal, corruption, greed, all that. I'm not saying that at all. But this is one of those messages that needs to go church-wide, and that's what Balaam was all about. Numbers 22, 3, and 4. It's all about the message of the church. Okay? So can all of God's people say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's